my Pontius Pilate, first by way of prelude, as we know, our Lord went through a series of trials by different officials, both Roman and Jewish. There were two trials before Pilate. The first, a short one, when Pilate decided to send Jesus to Herod, thinking perhaps Herod would take over jurisdiction and spare Pilate the trouble of condemning what Pilate by then already realized was an innocent man. The second trial before Pilate followed after Herod was not satisfied. Indeed, Jesus, as we know, was silent before Herod. Our Lord went back to Pilate, and the longest single sustained narrative as part of the Passion is in John's Gospel, in which Jesus is returned by Herod to Pilate, and then Pilate vainly trying to spare Jesus condemns him to death. It's a long narrative, but I believe first worth hearing in detail. It begins in John's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 38. Better, verse 28 of the 18th chapter of John goes on into chapter 19, and finally verse 16 of chapter 19. So once more, John's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 28 to and through 19:16, and finally Jesus is condemned to be crucified. Let's listen prayerfully. Christ's trial before Pilate is an object lesson in cowardice, in weakness, in pride, in giving in to human respect. It is also an object lesson in envy, in hatred, and in deathless opposition. So the one for whom the chosen people have been waiting for 2,000 years, we read, they then led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the Praetorium. It was now morning. They did not go into the Praetorium themselves, or they would be defiled. and unable to eat the Passover. So Pilate came outside to them and said, "What charge do you bring against this man?" They replied, "If he were not a criminal, we should not be handing him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and try him by your own law." The Jews answered, "You are not allowed to put a man to death." This was to fulfill the words Jesus had spoken, indicating the way he was going to die. So Pilate went back into the praetorium and called Jesus to him. "Are you the king of the Jews?" he asked. Jesus replied, "Do you ask this of your own accord, or have others spoken to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? It is your own people and the chief priests who have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus replied, "Mine is not a kingdom of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my men would have fought to prevent my being surrendered to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this kind." "So you are a king then?" said Pilate. "It is you who say it," answered Jesus. "Yes, I am a king. I was born for this. I came into the world for this, to bear witness to the truth. And all who are on the side of truth, listen to my voice." "Truth," said Pilate, "what is that?" And with that, he went out again to the Jews and said, "I find no case against him. But according to a custom of yours, I should release one prisoner at the Passover. Would you like me then to release the king of the Jews?" At this they shouted, "Not this man," they said, "but Barabbas." Barabbas was a brigand. Pilate then had Jesus taken away and scourged. And after this, the soldiers twisted some thorns into a crown and put it on his head, and dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him and saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they slapped him on the face. Pilate came outside again and said to them, "Look, I am going to bring him out to you to let you see that I find no case." Jesus then came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said, "Here is the man." When they saw him, the chief priests and the guards shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and crucify him. I can find no case against him." "We have a law," the Jews replied, "and according to that law, he ought to die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard them say this, his fears increased. Re-entering the praetorium, he said to Jesus, "Where do you come from?" But Jesus made no answer. Pilate then said to him, "Are you free to speak to me? Surely you know I have power to release you, and I have power to crucify you. You would have no power over me, replied Jesus, if it had not been given you from above. That is why the one at hand and the over to you has the greater guilt. From that moment, Pilate was anxious to set him free, but the Jews shouted, "If you set him free, you are no friend of Caesar's. Anyone who makes himself king is defying Caesar." Hearing these words, Pilate had Jesus brought out and seated himself on the chair of judgment at a place called the pavement, in Hebrew, Gabbatha. It was Passover preparation day, about the sixth hour. "Here is your king," said Pilate to the Jews. "Take him away. Take him away," they said. "Crucify him." "You want me to crucify your king?" said Pilate. The chief priest answered, "We have no king except Caesar." So in the end, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. I think it was worth reading the full text. Every sentence deserves an hour's meditation. Remember, Pilate had already indicated his own personal judgment of Christ's innocence. He thought he would get off easy by sending Jesus to Herod. That did not work. Christ came back to Pilate. And Jesus was brought to the Praetorium. But Christ's accusers, the hypocrites, did not want to enter the Praetorium. Pagan territory. By Pharisaic law, they would have defiled themselves and would have had to purify themselves before the Passover. First concession Pilate made. He went out to them. And notice the language of cowardice. Instead of insisting on what Pilate knew was the truth, "This man is innocent. You criminals should throw the soldiers, get him out." He would have fled like sheep. the language of a coward. What charge do you bring against this man? They replied. They did not really reply. My now, knowing they were dealing with a coward, the weakest cowards are those in high places. Again, I know. Scared of their position. They didn't have to bother making any accusation against Christ. They told him straight faced. If you were not a criminal, we should not be handing him over to you. In effect, they were telling Pilate, we are the judges, not you. Pilate then he knew better. He tells them, take him yourselves and try him by your own law. He knew what they wanted. He knew by the Roman law, which the Romans had imposed on the Jews, removing from the Jews the right to impose capital punishment. Thought he would scare them. He knew better. They knew better. So the logical answer the Jews made, we are not allowed to put a man to death. And this, we are told by the evangelist, was to fulfill the words Jesus had spoken, indicating the way he was going to die. He was to be crucified. And even though absolutely speaking, the Jews might have, say, stoned someone, as you remember, not long after, and they called no Roman governor to give them the right to do it. They stoned Stephen. How about crucifixion? They wouldn't dare. Reserved by Roman law. So the coward called Pilate went back into the praetorium, called Jesus to him, and asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Then our Lord replied, and of course, remember, all of this was divinely planned first by God to have Christ say the words he did, then by the Holy Spirit to inspire Saint John to write and recall what he did. So Jesus asked him, Do you ask this of your own accord, or have others spoken to you about me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? It is your own people and the chief priests who have handed you over. What have you done? We can honestly say that Pilate was befuddled. Confused would be a mild verb. He knew enough about the Jews to understand they had a very complicated and severe, shall we call it, moral code. Why was Jesus being handed over to be killed? Instead of directly answering him, our Lord tells him, Mine is not a kingdom of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, Pilate, do you suppose I'd be standing here alone? By now, there would have been an army protecting me. And my kingdom is not of this kind. Over the centuries, volumes have been written on the mysterious dialogue between Christ and Pilate. Each representing a kingdom, but what a difference. The kingdom of Caesar and the kingdom of God. From the first century, the Apostles' Creed goes back to the first century of the Christian era. From the first century, Pontius Pilate has been quoted in the Apostles' Creed. Along with Jesus and Mary. Believe me, that is not coincidental. Ever since the trial which we are now reviewing, it has been the Pontius Pilates of the kingdoms of this world that have one after the other opposed, condemned, and crucified, beginning with the first Christian, Christ himself. And this will go on until the last martyr in the history of Christianity. We speak in our country of a separation of church and state. It all depends on how you explain the word separation. I like the atheist John Dewey's explanation. John Dewey, as you may know, is the great father of American education. wrote John Dewey, separation of church and state in the United States means subordination of church to state. Thanks, John Dewey. Thanks for being frank. That's the way it was on the first Good Friday morning. That's the way it is. And that's the way it will be until the end of time. Two kingdoms. We believe as Christians the state has a divine right to exist. Behind the state, we further believe, is God's own authority, entrusting civil rulers with a right to govern and direct their citizens. To govern and direct their citizens, but only according to the will of God. And Christ, remember, being asked, it was lawful to pay tribute to Caesar, asked to see a coin, asked whose inscription this is, told it was Caesar's, and then Christ answered, so give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but to God, what belongs to God. But that, my friends, that is precisely the confrontation so many are giving to Caesar what belongs to God. Then, in his conversation with Pilate, Jesus tells him, those who are on the side of truth, listen to my voice. There are oceans of wisdom behind that statement. There is a readiness, a willingness to listen to the truth. Openness of heart. In Christ's vocabulary, humility of heart. Or the humble of heart are ready to listen to the truth. No one else is. Now they then hear the truth, are nourished by the truth, live it, and then reach that heavenly destiny which is received only by those, reserved only for those who on earth have been twice over nourished by the truth. The truth as revealed by Jesus Christ, and the truth who is Jesus Christ, received in the Holy Eucharist.